Jim Taylor back on WMJ and WMJ.com. We're on location at the River House in Moline. There's an Illinois Basketball Coaches Association event. We ran into Jay Hatch, current coach at Riverdale, longtime coach at Olam. And I've been wanting to talk to you for a couple of weeks. I know there was some attention with girls' basketball participation numbers nationally that are declining. Now, I know I see that by just going to games and seeing rosters of high school teams in the area. Is that concerning to you, just kind of your reaction to the initial headline?
Yes. I think there's a million factors that go into it. I think the last few years, I think the pandemic really hurt numbers. At Riverdale this year, we have a good freshman group, so our numbers are up. But it's not anywhere close to like the old days, you know, the good old days. I just think a lot of things have changed. There's young people have a lot of other things they can do. Back when we were in school, there wasn't that much options, you know, and so kids off, you know, if things aren't, you know, if they're not going to start or they're not going to play as much as they want, they think about, you know, doing other things. There's a lot of choices in sports, you know, there's lacrosse and rowing and, you know, things that just weren't options. I mean, I suppose they were, but around here, nobody knew about them. And, you know, we have kids that aren't playing boys basketball because they're playing hockey and, you know, not anything, none of those things are bad. It's just, there's just a lot of options.
Well, and you had said with the panel tonight too, maybe one of the impacts is you talk about, you know, giving the kid the opportunity to play at a young level, but then they play so much at a young level. Because I really look at youth level basketball and junior high basketball, the games I go to, there's a lot of kids that play at that level, but then when you see at the high school level, there's never really a lot of juniors or seniors that stick around other than a handful. You think that's one of the culprits?
Yeah, I really do believe, and that's in all sports. I think we start too young with too much pressure. I mean, I remember, like, when I started playing basketball, the first organized basketball I could play was in third grade, and that was at the Y. And we practiced 1 hour a week, and we played one game a week. And in our games, every team had 10 kids. 5 kids played the first quarter, 5 kids played the second quarter. You split the third quarter, and then the fourth quarter, the coach could play whoever they wanted. So everybody was playing at least a quarter and a half, you know, and that's just not the way it is anymore. And, you know, you see a lot of kids who start off and really enjoy it, you know, and then there's the whole, you know, you got to be careful if you're a school team and you get into an AAU tournament, you're playing kids that are from, you know, 400 miles around, and so then your team loses by 70 and then they don't like it. You know, there's just a lot of things. I just think we do too much too soon. You know, I remember, you know, coaching high school softball, we never forget this. We had a player. She was all-state tournament as a junior. We won the state title. And about a week afterwards, she, you know, comes to me, "Coach, I'm done. I just don't want to play anymore." She goes, "It's nothing against anybody. I've just played so many games. I just don't want to play." She came to every game the next year, but she watched because she didn't want to practice. She didn't want to play in the summer. And that, there's just something wrong with that. You know, it's, you know, so, I don't know the answer. You know, I'm probably tilting at windmills here, but somehow we got to figure out a way to let kids enjoy it again. You know, and like, you know, big thing we have to deal with as coaches is making kids understand that, you know, this isn't a pool game. You know, these games are important, you know, and it used to not be hard at all because you didn't play that many games. And now they play, you know, 500 games before they get to high school. You know, another game, oh, well, you know, where are we eating afterwards? You know, that kind of thing, you know. So in a lot of ways, I think the adults have screwed it up. You know, if you let the kids just go play, they will. But, you know, like I said, I don't know how to solve the problem, but I think definitely there is one.
And I think when you talk about burnout or kids getting tired, when you talk about schedule, and if you play multiple sports, it's always about schedule. Where do I have to be when? And I don't know what the answer is, and I know you probably started coaching, what, in the 80s or 90s?
Yeah, I was an assistant in the 80s.
Yeah, so the 80s. So what I look at now is the impedance of basically the off-season sport impeding on the in-season sport. And I don't know the correct way to do that, because old school was, hey, if you're going to do this, then you're not playing on my team. It's all, you got to commit to basketball season, or you got to commit to football season, or whatever the sport is. If you do that, you're not playing. But now you go full circle, and you probably have to say, I don't know, there has to be some leeway and say, well, I got to let maybe the kid do both to keep him on this roster. Is there a right way to do it, or how do you approach that? Is that the big issue in today's culture of interscholastic athletics?
You know, I think you hit a big issue. I played three sports in college. Okay, there is no way that I could play three sports in high school now, the way things are expected to be. Now, I grew up in Iowa, you know, and when I was in high school, our school could not have a high school camp. So if we played in a summer league, there could only be one other guy from our team on the league. But we played baseball in the summer anyway, so I wasn't playing in any leagues anyway because I was playing baseball. And so we would go practice, this is going to sound odd, on our own. We didn't need a coach. We didn't need, you know, we would just go play. And, you know, we would work on our game, and I loved basketball, so I would play basketball in the off season. But there were, you know, and that's not necessarily a great thing by itself, because, you know, there's some kids, I just really don't like it when a kid in seventh grade specializes. You know, there's the rare kid, but, you know, I've had kids go Division I, and almost all of them played something else all the way through high school. And, you know, but you talked about playing multiple sports. I am the biggest proponent there is of multiple sports. I don't get why we do them at the same time, you know. When you're in a sport, that's what you have to be doing. We don't even do open gyms anymore in the fall because I don't want kids thinking they have to be there when they're in volleyball or cross country or golf or whatever. And, you know, if you follow the rules in open gym, they're terrible as a coach. You just sit there and babysit. You can't say anything to them, you know. I hate them. And, you know, we haven't had an open gym in several years. But not every pro – and the worst part is – then clubs get involved, and club sports, they don't have any, they're not educators, they don't have any skin in the game with, you know, and I know of a local volleyball one that, you know, tells their kids, you cannot be in a school sport if you're playing on our volleyball club. Okay, great. So you're telling them they, you know, and it's like, are you going to guarantee them they're going to college in that sport? I don't think you probably can do that. And, you know, that shouldn't be the reason you're playing anyway. It should be because you like it and you want to do it. And, you know, and the other thing I see a lot is kids, well, you know, this isn't my best sport. So, you know, it's like in school, do you sit out all your, you only take your best subject, you know, it's, there's so many things that being in a sport does for you that have nothing to do with how much you play or how good you are or what you're going to, you know, if you're going to do it in college. There's just so many life skills you get from being part of a team, and you can learn things that as a teacher I cannot get across to my classes because I don't have the same relationship with the class students as you do with the players.
So you said you don't do fall open gyms. So do you get the reverse courtesy then? See, that's the big issue. You know, it's interesting because I know when you were at Olivan, you coached both softball and basketball for a time and had an equal amount of success. So there's a lot of bleed over for basketball with whether it be club volleyball in the winter or now there's so many indoor facilities that you can play indoor softball. So is basketball the sport you think that's impacted most by the impedance of other off-season sports, club sports, really having a detriment to high school basketball? Now, mind you, if kids don't want to play, that's one thing. But if they don't want to play because of schedule, that's a completely another thing. If they enjoy playing basketball, it's sad if they can't, if they're being told or there's pressure being applied saying, well, you need to be here instead of being at basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head about 10 different times there. You know, sometimes there isn't always reciprocity, but where I've really seen it is with the clubs. You know, the high school coaches are good. They get it. But the clubs are the ones, you know, and like I always tell our you know, we have our parent meeting. I said, there's a reason I don't come to you in the fall. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff we could be doing. There's leagues here. And I said, but that's there's a reason why colleges require a day off every week. You know, it's not healthy, you know, especially when you think about volleyball and basketball. They're similar. You jump all the time. You know, your girls are already at risk for knee injuries. And then you're adding overuse, you know, and it's, you know, I think it's, I don't know how to say this delicately, but I think adults get involved and it's an ego thing. They want to have the best team. They want to be able to tell everybody my program did this. And so the kid becomes a commodity. And the solution for that is parents have to understand. I think a lot of parents believe that they have to do this stuff or their kid's not going to be able to play here, there, and everywhere. And the bottom line is if you're good enough, you're going to play. And if you're not good enough, you're not going to play. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we – and this is our society in a lot of ways. We just don't let kids be kids anymore. You know, we're wanting them to get jobs earlier. We're wanting them to, you know. My dad, I used to kind of chafe at this a little bit. My dad would always tell me, you got your whole life to work. You're not going to work. And finally, right before I went away to college, I had to get a job. You know, and at the time, I was like, yeah, I'd kind of like to have some more money, you know. But, you know, as I look back, he was right. You know, it's like I would have missed out on a lot of things, you know, because, you know, I was – doing things that I didn't need to do as a kid, you know, and like I said, I don't probably not ever going to get this back. But you know, I just hope that parents out there realize you don't have to be your kid's sports agent. You know, you just have to be their continuous supporter. You know, that's what they need. And they, you know, I remember reading some, you know, when you ride home with your kid after the game, the only thing you should tell them is I love watching you play. You know, don't coach them. They already know. I can remember my dad yelling at me when I messed up in a game. It's like, Dad, you think I don't know that I screwed up? You know, you yelling at me doesn't make me, you know, so, you know, I probably sound really idealistic here, but, you know, I just wish there was a way where, because I just have seen so many kids blossom in their lives because of being in a sport. You know, you don't have to be the best player. I got a couple kids. I've had a couple kids just because they were on the team. You know, that gave them a peer group, and it gave them a place to fit in, you know. And, you know, you see those kids, you know, like these kids here tonight, you know, they 17 years ago, and they're, you know, they probably haven't, some of them probably haven't seen each other in a while, and they're just right back into, you know, remember when? You know, it's usually not about remember when we played this game or that game. It's, you know, what we did at a team dinner or, you know, in the hotel at a tournament or whatever. So, those are the things I think it's too bad when kids miss out on that.
And it's interesting you say, as a parent, when you look in the rearview mirror, you say, I just want to be able to see them play again. And I agree 100%. That's the lens you look at. I'm curious, so, you know, from a perspective like you, and I talk to a lot of guys that coach and a lot of women that coach that have kids play, and they'll go to a game, and I'm not talking about coaching your kid, they're on your team. I'm talking about just going to one of their games, right, when you're not a coach. Right. And most of those people I watch, they sit there and they watch the game and say nothing. But then there's other people that have never coached a day in their life, and they won't shut up about whatever. You know, the old coaching from the stand. So I guess long-winded question. What are we doing? What do you think needs to be corrected in youth sports when you go out and watch as an impartial observer? What drives you bananas most about youth sports? And I'm talking about, you know, I think most parents do it the right way, but it's just those exceptions that ruin it for everyone, and those are the examples we always hear about. But they're usually horrible examples. So when you go to youth sporting events or junior high sporting events, what is the biggest thing that drives you nuts, or what do you think needs to be corrected?
You're right on. I about a year ago, you had a, I don't remember if it was a tweet or a post on Facebook, you were talking about, I think it was in regards to the official shortage. You're like, well, at youth games, we have to do better. And you're, I mean, why would anybody want to be a ref? I mean, not that I'm the greatest example of this, but I mean, you go to a third grade game and people are, I remember when our daughters were playing, we'd be over at Beyond the Baseline and our team wasn't playing. I'd say to my wife, just close your eyes and listen. I mean, it is unbelievable the things people say. And, you know, they, like you said, they don't really know what they're talking about. And it's just like, it may be one thing if you like knew the rules or something, but, you know, some, you know, I don't know. There needs to be, like, I wish all youth basketball was under the umbrella of USA Basketball, because they have a, you know, a whole, they have it all figured out. I mean, they have, you know, at this age you should be playing games that are this long, and you should be playing, you know, they want a shot clock, okay, fine, but it's like, it, until sixth grade it's like a 45-second shot clock, and they talk about how you should, you know, not allow pressing till a certain age, and have playing time parameters. And then as you get older, obviously those change, you know, and if coaches had to be certified by USA Basketball and those kinds of things, you know, right now, you know, you look at different sports, there's all these different governing bodies. You know, back in the old days, it was ASA, and they had their problems, obviously. But now you have all these offshoots, and unfortunately, a lot of those have become money makers for the people that run those organizations. And, you know, you got to be a member of this organization, and it costs this much a year, and then your team has to be in it. And if you want to go to nationals, you got to play in 12 tournaments. It doesn't matter if you ever win a game, you know. And if, you know, from a basketball standpoint, it would sure be awesome if they could do that. Now, it's probably impossible. But, you know, if there was some kind of governing body, I mean, and then you could deal with fan behavior. And, you know, it's just awful. I mean, I can remember, you know, half the time my wife was coaching, so I'm sitting in the stands by myself, you know, and I'm like, I'm looking around at people who I know, and it's like, what are you doing? It's like I wanted to film them and show them, like, this is what you look like. You know, this is fifth grade basketball. It's not, and I know it's your kid, and you, but come on, you know, like my mom watched me play a million games in my life. I never heard her say a word, you know. My dad, on the other hand, he did a lot, but my dad at that time was a referee, and I would always get, the referees are always right. You know, if they make a bad call, it's probably because somebody did something out of line that was weird. And so the day my dad retired, then he became the biggest critic of referees ever. But, you know, it's, you're right. I mean, like I said, you know, and with the shortage of referees, new referees don't get to learn their way up. They're starting at the varsity, you know, and it's hard to be patient as a coach with people that don't seem to know what they're doing, you know. But on the other hand, you know, it's better than Casper the Friendly Ghost. You know, we don't have young people doing it, but you know, I can understand why nobody would want to go into it. You know, like football, people go to football games. First of all, in football, there's like eight different sets of rules. They watch football games on TV. They watch NBA, NFL games, and so they start yelling about rules. Those aren't the high school rules, people. You know, it's like the guy's calling it the correct way. You know, so.
And you talk about the officiating issue at the youth level. I don't know. I've watched enough basketball in my life, just broadcasting, but to try and apply it to a youth level or a junior high level to really try to call a game, that you have to be so subjective and there has to be leeway, because that's just the way it is. And, you know, the oversight of officials at that level is the worst in terms of, you know, basically fans that are there thinking that this game should be, you know, officiated like a Final Four. But here's another thing that you bring up that I think about what rules need to be in place. And sometimes I think at the younger level, there needs to be a limited number of fans that can come to the game. Now, and if you want everybody in your family to go, then, you know, you eventually, they have to rotate through. We interviewed, I want to say about 4 or 5 years ago, John Elder, who coached at Alexis, helped created the IHSA football playoff structure, all right? So, and I was talking to him about the evolution of what has changed in his, what he's watched. And he said, you know, when I first started, you know, basically dad had come to the game. Maybe mom had come to a couple home games. That was it. You know, 5 years later, you know, mom and dad come to every game. Maybe brother. Maybe grandpa will come to a couple. 15 years forward, you know, mom and dad, niece, nephew, brother, sister, you know, aunts, uncles, they're all there, and they're there for one reason and one reason only, to watch that youngster play. Yeah, so then, you know, you have all those people coming to the game with certain expectations. And I think that's created some challenges as we've gone along. Now, am I saying everybody that fits that description that brings a lot of family members to the game, does that necessarily result in bad things? No, I'm not saying that. But sometimes it does. If they're just there for one thing and one thing only, that kid. Now, when I go to games, I'm a parent, I get it. But you have to take a step back and say, why am I here? I'm here because my kid's playing for Mercer County. I'm not here just because of my kid. You have to kind of remember that. Sometimes it's tough. But when there's 8 or 9 or 10, 11 people just specifically there for one reason and one reason only, and it's that kid, that's where maybe some issues can come into play.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think with a lot of those youth games, you'd have a hard time getting anybody to go along with that because the people run the tournament want as many people as possible because they want to make money. I think there's a lot of – you know, I haven't been to an Iowa football game in 20 years, but I went 2 weeks ago when they played Michigan. And a guy behind me who had overserved himself before he ever got there is screaming obscenities the whole game, yelling at the quarterback. I wanted to say, I'll bet you a dollar that you never played football in your life. You don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, 50,000 people have no problems with booing a college kid. The guy is, you know, he's 20 years old. He's not trying to screw up. Give him a break, you know? And it's, you know, somehow it's, I don't know where that came from, but it's like everybody's an expert about things that they really don't know anything about. And even if you do know what you're talking about, the kid's still not trying to screw up. You know, I've never met that player. You know, as a coach, it's really easy to think the kids are screwing up on purpose, but they're not, you know? Probably I didn't do a good enough job explaining things to them, you know, and it's, you know, and then mom and dad see their kid and other people yelling at them. So then they, you know, it's just, it's a nightmare, you know, but I think you're right. Yeah.
So let's end on a positive note. So we ran into Jay Hatch at Riverhouse at an Illinois Basketball Coaches Association event. All right. So you said started coaching about in the 80s. So what, about 40s, approaching 40 some odd years maybe of coaching or thereabouts. What's still good about it? What brings you great joy about it?
Oh, it's without a doubt. It's the same thing as teaching. When you are working with a young person and you see the look on their face when they realize they can do something they didn't think they could do. And in sports, that happens a lot more than it does in the classroom. Because in the classroom, by the time they get to us in high school, they've kind of decided what they can and can't do, and you can try to stretch them, but it's much, much more difficult. In sports, they want to get better and they think they can get better. And so when you see that look in their eye, you know, and some of my favorite teams I've ever coached, our record wasn't very good, but we got better every day. And that, you know, that's a real joy as a coach to see to see somebody do things they didn't think they could do, because you also know that down the road in their real life, you know, things that really matter, they now have a skill set to attack things to where they're going to be able to be successful.
Good to see you, sir. We'll see you in a gymnasium in the winter.
All right, awesome.
Jay Hatch, a great coach at Allam and now at Riverdale, joining us on WRMJ.